Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's been such a whirlwind. No producer Dave tonight, so Nick is working with us, and I appreciate him coming in on short notice. And because we had our conversation with Jerry, and we had Monday Night Football and NBA free agency, and you're just trying to navigate all the various elements of the show. My goodness, it took me an hour to put up a poll. Then I had to worry about the squirrel and tell you the squirrel story. Some guy suggested that I build a little hut for the squirrel so the squirrel will leave my shed and live in the hut. What am I going to do? Put up signs? Here, Mr. Squirrel, please take your family into this hut and leave my shed, which is much larger and more spacious. What? Another guy suggested I clean out my entire shed, which I'm not going to do in the cold. But also, there's a lot of stuff in the shed. My mom's husband showed up in June when my family was around to help me move in. And he cleaned out the entire shed. It took him a half a day. I mean, he went through the whole thing. He swept it out. He threw out some stuff. He organized it. I mean, I'm not taking everything out of my shed just for the damn squirrel. I mean, the squirrel is either going to stay in there or he's not. I guess if he dies, I'll have to scoop him out with a shovel. But it's not my fault that his butt is so big he can't squeeze out from underneath the door. I can't think about that right now. It's going to have to wait for another day. I'm not going to eat squirrel for Thanksgiving. So, you know, he's just going to have to figure out his way around this little problem that he's got being locked in my shed. So here we are, 2 hours into the show, and I feel like I haven't had a breath yet, but it's all right. Had some dinner, stomach stopped growling, and you all are making me smile. Thank you so much for the initial votes that you've cast in our poll on Twitter, but also you're blowing up Facebook as typical. I love it when you all show up during the show. I don't think you're all listening. I think some of you are just posting on Facebook. It is an obsession, you know, but I do appreciate your responses. Already dozens and dozens of responses, and then throw in Twitter and we're talking about hundreds of people that have already weighed in about your interest in NBA free agency. So the poll, this is just the four options on Twitter. All four options are separated by just 10 percentage points. And so we're talking about a relatively slim margin for all four options, meaning that there is interest, there is no interest, there is, you know, the clickbait type of interest, there's the relatively entertained type of interest. So please check out the poll. Again, it's on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. By the way, if you follow me on Twitter personally, I will be posting pictures of my dog on Tuesday because it's her 11th birthday. Penny's 11th birthday on Tuesday, and I do have big plans for my sweet girl. A few of her favorite things, which I'll tell you about a little bit later, and on Twitter. Anyway, so you can follow me on Twitter, or you can use our show Twitter account, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So thank you for showing up when your girl needs ya. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Do you rent your home? Well, if you do, Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. We talked about the Chris Paul news a little bit earlier, so he will be joining what is a relatively young Phoenix Suns locker room with a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation, and a lot of belief that this team is poised to make the next step. Also mentioned this in the first hour, but Drew Holiday is on the move to Milwaukee. So the Bucks are finalizing a deal to bring Holiday to town. Not only is he one of the best defensive guards in the NBA, and he's still in the prime of his career at 30 years old, but he's also got that same wisdom and experience as Chris Paul, can bring some leadership to the table, and averaged better than 19 points and nearly 7 assists per game last season. So this is about putting another piece in place to help Milwaukee and Giannis get over the hump. So now you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, who's an all-star, and Drew Holiday, who is an all-defensive player. New Orleans, meanwhile, pretty much had to make this deal. This is what the Pelicans, I almost said the Saints. We'll get to the Saints. This is what the Pelicans are getting in return: Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and not one, not two, but three first-round picks. If you're Drew Holiday, your confidence just shot through the freaking roof. Not only does a Bucks team that is a contender, I know they fell flat in the bubble, but a Bucks team that had the best record in the NBA last season, the number one seed in the East, not only does that Bucks team, with its reigning MVP, want you to be part of the equation and believes that you are potentially the missing piece, but the Bucks are willing to give up three first-round picks and two other players. That's incredible. If I'm Drew Holiday, I'm strutting around on Tuesday as this deal is getting done. And I do think that he's a nice addition to the Bucks. This is not a question of maybe what we're asking about Chris Paul. Will he fit in? Drew Holiday will fit in. This is a guy who has the right perspective about basketball, who cares about basketball, but has also gone through some of the most difficult challenges that real life can throw at you. His wife has gone through surgeries and treatment for brain cancer. This is a couple and a family that has received so much support from the NBA community, but also from New Orleans. And I really like the way that he's been vulnerable. They've been honest about their struggles and their fight, but he's continued to play basketball when he felt like it was okay to be away from his wife. And so there's a lot to like about him. There's a lot that people will tell you about his character and who he is and how he handles himself. This is an interracial couple, and so they also have been really on the front lines for racial injustice, and they actually have recounted a story themselves about a traffic stop that scared them, you know, and that kind of brought this issue to the forefront for them. And so they're powerful voices. So I love the fact, and Lauren Holiday is a former soccer star herself. And so they kind of bring up, you know, not just a voice, but a platform to the table, and they're conscientious and they're parents, right? And so there's a lot to like about Drew Holiday, and I think he's a great addition to any franchise, but certainly a great addition to this locker room, which I think could use some direction, could use some more leadership. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As I was talking about New Orleans, pivot here to the Saints, because I know a lot of you have been waiting for the news on Drew Brees. And it's not great. In fact, it's a little scary for Drew, but also for the Saints, who have one of the longest win streaks right now in the NFL. And after what was, let's say, a inconsistent first month, they did beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then stumbled a couple of times. They've now won 6 straight games. Now, the defense has shown up in a major way in the last 2 weeks, and so not only completely shutting down Tampa Bay 2 weeks ago, so week 9, but also holding the Niners at bay this past weekend, even without Drew Brees in the second half. And you may remember from Sunday and from our last show that I said to you, it's got to be serious for Drew to take himself out of the game. And apparently that was the indicator for Sean Payton as well, when Drew came to him and said, I don't think I should go.
But he looked strong enough about letting me know. And I know when he does that, which is kind of probably going to be the first time in 15 years that it was significant enough where he felt like he couldn't function in the second half.
So that's a big deal. Obviously, Drew Brees, over the course of his two-decade career, has played with pain. But according to the test that were run on Monday, he has multiple broken ribs on both sides of his chest. So we're not talking about one side. We're talking about broken ribs on both sides and a collapsed right lung. Now, that's not, that's something that used to scare the crap out of me when I would hear that, collapsed lung. It's actually not quite as serious as it sounds. I'm not saying it isn't scary, and it's certainly serious for Drew, but not as scary as what Tyrod Taylor went through with a punctured lung. And so here we go, more of a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. There's been no definitive ruling on Drew Brees. We don't know exactly how long he'll miss, if he'll miss time. So Sean Payton, even cryptic about whether or not Brees would miss time. But also, he's not going to give anything away to their opponents. Okay, so if we go back to Sunday, then the idea would be Jameis Winston, which I'll just admit surprised me a little bit. Taysom Hill's the guy they're paying to be the backup. Taysom Hill's the guy they gave the relatively sizable contract to. Taysom Hill's the guy that they bring in a variety of situations to pass the ball, to run the ball, or let's be honest, to bull rush the ball, to catch the ball when they need him to. He's the guy that spells Drew Brees when they are looking to come up with an explosive chunk play. So I was a little surprised by the Jameis Winston part. Regardless of where he was listed on the depth chart, we've seen a lot more of Taysom Hill. Winston didn't get into a Saints game until week 9 when it was a blowout against the Bucks, and it was more about allowing Jameis to be on the field against his former team. But since Winston was the one who started the second half against the Niners, now he didn't play the entire time. There was a series that was completely run by Taysom Hill, was all run plays, but he had a fumble. Winston was out there when Brees couldn't go and did take the majority of the second half snaps. So if that's the case, then maybe you can infer it will be Winston if Brees can't play in week number 11. But I wouldn't say discount the Taysom Hill option, toss it to the side. I don't think that is a done deal. According to Sean Payton, both quarterbacks know the system, have a good feel for what they're trying to do. Is Winston more like Drew Brees? Well, sure, as much as Jameis Winston can ever be like Drew Brees. He's a different size. He's a different strength. He's certainly got a different skill set. He turns the ball over way too much, or has, over the course of his career. And certainly showed some rust on Sunday. So we'll see who gets the reps this week. We'll see what happens moving forward. But Peyton, at this point, is not tipping his hand. It doesn't prevent everyone else from speculating, though. So going back to our friends at CBS Sports HQ, he believes that Jameis Winston is the better option and that this actually might not be so bad for the Saints.
It's hard to evaluate him on that half because he's kind of didn't get any work with the first teamers or very little, and then you get thrown in there and you're playing. It's tough for anybody, even a veteran quarterback who put up big numbers last year in Tampa. I think this is good for Jameis Winston. It gives him an opportunity to show people, look, I can still play and be a quality starting quarterback in this league, and it's good for him to be able to show Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints that maybe when Drew Brees walks away, he's the guy that's going to be the starting quarterback.
I do like that element of this. Now, I don't think that concerns Sean Payton, even in the slightest, what Jameis Winston does in the future, whether it's with the Saints, because, you know, let's be honest, Drew Brees is probably only playing this year and maybe next year. We don't even know. He's taking it on a year-by-year basis, but he already has a job waiting for him when he retires. Maybe he decides it's not worth it to be beat up a lot, though clearly he's still playing at a very high level. So, you know, let's not pretend like the man's fallen off the map. With Jameis Winston, though, this could be a Teddy Bridgewater situation. Bridgewater got an audition. An early audition, an opportunity to prove what he could do. And he played well. He was solid. He was steady. Didn't turn the ball over a lot. Was able to deliver the pass. Now, did the Saints rely heavily on Alvin Kamara and their defense last year? when Breeze was out? Heck yeah. But Teddy Bridgewater didn't hurt them, and at times he helped them with his skill set. Can Jameis Winston also treat this as an audition, however long it lasts? This is not a knock on Jameis. I hope it doesn't last long, because I want to enjoy every moment that we have with Drew Brees before he retires. He is one of the all-time greats. Here's what's ahead on the Saints' schedule. A home-and-home, essentially, with the Atlanta Falcons, sandwiched around a game in Denver. Then the Eagles, which takes us far down the road. We're talking about week number 14 before they would get to the Eagles, and the Chiefs are the week of Christmas. So, yes, we're into the last third or the final third of the season, but there's still a lot of real estate. The Saints have already played the Bucs twice. They've beaten the Bucs twice, which means Tom Brady has had the opportunity to see Drew Brees in the same stadium twice. Brady does a weekly Monday Night Football injury on Westwood One, and Jim Gray asked him about Drew Brees.
It's tough because he's an incredible player, and just seeing him up close like I did 2 weeks ago, he's playing some great football, and they have a very talented team. Every team is forced at different times in the year to adjust, and the Saints are one of the best teams in the league at doing that. So I don't know how long he'll be out. I certainly hope for a speedy recovery, and you know, nobody likes to see anybody get hurt. I hate seeing guys get hurt, but it's a contact sport. So he recovered pretty well last year from his thumb injury, and he seems to be a very quick healer, and I'm hoping that's the case for him.
So Tom Brady on Westwood One with Jim Gray. His phone was not crappy this week. His phone was actually very clear. Some of those interviews he does, and you could barely hear him, but it was good to get his thoughts on Drew Brees. And certainly Tom Brady knows he's not only toward the end of his career, but he's had injuries that he's had to play through and injuries that he couldn't play through, though he's been relatively durable. Why? Because Tom Brady doesn't want to get hit. Neither does Drew Brees, but it was a hit late in the first half that caused not just broken ribs, but also a collapsed lung. And he's been dealing with it. Well, dealing with some pain over the last couple of weeks, he said. He actually thought this was a cumulative injury. Maybe the ribs were cracked or vulnerable before this, but the collapsed lung, I mean, that's a different element to it. As for Brady, he's had some rib injuries of his own, and Gray asked him about the healing process.
It's a tough injury. I've experienced them. Rib cartilage that's been torn. I've experienced broken ribs. I've had the best body coach in the world, Alex Guerrero, that's taken such good care of me. And it's difficult. It just depends on how quickly you heal and what kind of great treatment you receive. And from my standpoint, I was healing pretty quickly because of the magic man himself, Alex Guerrero, working on me day in and day out.
Tom Brady giving some pub to his longtime personal trainer and coach. So that's on Westwood One. Tom Brady with Jim Gray. And a little bit later, maybe I'll let you hear what Brady had to say about Dustin Johnson. And I actually caught this interview on Westwood One because you know how much I love to listen to Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on Monday Night Football. And he talked about how he watched the Masters. So it's kind of interesting, but we'll save that for a little bit later. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. All right, I am thrilled with how you're showing up to support me and taking the NBA poll that I put up. So it's on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also we put the post up on our Facebook page. And by we, I mean me, because I'm doing this myself tonight. Nick's got more than enough to do, so I decided I would man the social media and take that off of his plate. And the results are relatively tight. Some of you are like a kid on Christmas. In fact, you've got gifts to prove it. Others of you are too focused on football, which is more of a way of saying you don't really care. So please take the poll, and I'm going to share some of your responses. Also, it's not a done deal. In fact, it may never be a done deal, but James Harden, he's trying to force his way out of Houston. Where does he want to go? OMG, it's laughable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The only person I saw down there was Hop. let it go. Let him give him a chance. And, you know, it's funny. Everybody, all they saw was black gloves arising, you know, from everybody. It was a group of four people, and all they saw was black gloves. So I'm just glad he caught the ball.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And in a landslide, your choice for Monday MVP is one DeAndre Hopkins. Our player of the week brought to you by Grainger. So let's take a closer look at the one who got it done. And this week, it is the first-year Cardinals wide receiver who's already formed this great rapport with quarterback Kyler Murray. You hear Kyler talking about the black gloves. So he eludes the pressure. He chucks the ball on the move, cross body, a full 40 yards into the end zone where DeAndre Hopkins is engulfed in a sea of white jerseys. Yeah, there were some black gloves, but mostly white jerseys. And he rises up. He times his leap perfectly. He's got some hops. And he has his long arms, his hands, stretched just enough that he is over the outstretched arms and hands of the Bills defenders. Not only does he grab the ball, he's able to keep it and hold on to the possession all the way to the ground. Again, with guys all around him. The focus, the concentration, the body control, phenomenal. And so that Hail Mary touchdown catch gives him 127 yards and a score. And by far the moment that is most talked about this NFL weekend. And your choice for a Monday MVP. Dave Pasch with the call. The awesome, cool call at the end of the Bills-Cardinals game. The player of the week sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com safety, or just stop by. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I cannot believe that we're already halfway through our third hour. I still have not recorded my CBS Sports Minute. Anthony, I will get to it as soon as we get to our next break. But I'm hearing from a lot of you who at least are mildly engaged, even relatively entertained in what's happening with NBA free agency. Now, I'm like you. I think it's weird. All of these dates and these activities being completely off the calendar where they normally are. The draft, you may not know, is coming up on Wednesday. So we're actually going to preview the draft. It's not considered to be an uber strong draft. We're not talking about a Zion Williamson at the top. In fact, it may be LaMelo Ball who's at the top. So it could be another ball basketballer coming out of the big baller family. And so there's not one player that's expected to be a dominant force for which teams were attempting to tank. I mean, that's certainly off the table. But it is the draft, and it's virtual. And I wonder if they'll pull it off with as much success as the NFL. We shall see. But that's coming up on Wednesday. We'll preview it on our Hump Show. In addition, we've now got the free agency that's dominating the basketball headlines. So we talked about Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns, Drew Holiday to the Milwaukee Bucks. Did you know that Houston is all kinds of wheeling and dealing now, finalizing a trade to send Robert Covington to Portland for Trevor Ariza and a pair of first-round picks? Again, if you're Robert Covington, you're thinking, whoa, I'm pretty darn cool. I mean, Covington's been on the move a bunch himself, too, if you think about not quite a year ago, but maybe 10 months ago, 11 months, 9 months ago, maybe. He was part of a blockbuster in terms of the number of bodies that moved. Four teams, 12 players. And so he, if you're a Hawks fan, you know that Clint Capella landed with the Hawks in February. Covington came from Minnesota. The Timberwolves got two first-round picks. So he's been on the move a bunch. But essentially, Covington, who's also a great defender, at 6'7", he's lanky. He averages double figures, nearly six rebounds. He's played with three different teams, so a lot of different experience. He is a guy that now is headed to Portland, where they believe they're only a piece or two away from being a championship team. Okay, maybe just one piece away. So that's another move that is likely to be done. Here's one that is not going to be done. And here's one that the Houston Rockets don't have to do. But if I'm the Houston Rockets, I'm toeing the line. A little bit like the Pelicans did with Anthony Davis a couple of years ago. You do not pull the trigger on a James Harden trade until you get everything that you want out of it. James Harden is one of the best individual players in the league. He's an MVP. He's an all-star. And he has played his hand. He has showed his cards. Essentially, he has told the world he wants to go to Brooklyn. He's already talked to Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Apparently, the three of them want to form a super team in Brooklyn. And to that end, Harden turned down Houston's offer of a max extension. 2 years and another $103 million on top of what he still has on his Rockets contract currently, which is $133 million. So this is how badly James Harden wants out of Houston. He just turned down an extra $100 million over two seasons. So he would have stayed in Houston, or theoretically would have been committed to Houston for five more years to the tune of $236 million. But that's not enough to tempt him. So the Rockets clearly want him to be the centerpiece of their rebuild, but Harden wants no part of it. We know Russell Westbrook wants out. I mean, that was a no-brainer. It wasn't going to fit, not with he and Harden in the same backcourt. It worked in Oklahoma City because neither one of them had developed as a dominant player at that point. It wasn't going to work in Houston. That's a duh. So Westbrook wants out. Now Harden wants out. He doesn't want to be part of this new look Rockets squad. But because he's under contract for multiple years, Houston can do a whole lot of zilch, a whole lot of nothing, and even try to change James Harden's mind. You remember, the Oklahoma City managed to convince Westbrook and even Paul George to stick around for a couple extra years. So Harden wants out, but Houston doesn't have to let him out. And right now, Houston is not, I would say, in a position of power in terms of bargaining power, because everyone knows that Harden wants to go to Brooklyn. Everyone knows that the Rockets aren't going to settle for pennies on the dollar when it comes to trading away their all-star guard. So essentially, Houston is not negotiating from a position of strength, if that makes sense, because everybody already knows what's happening there. And that Harden doesn't want to be there anymore. Now, will he refuse to play? I have no idea. I don't think we're to that point yet. He's hoping that he can get the Rockets to acquiesce to his trade demands. So, you know, not everything has changed in 2020. When it comes to the NBA, free agency is still all about players trying to pick their destinations. And per the usual, in the NBA, athletes want to play with their BFFs. I hate this element of free agency. I hate it. So while I'm following it for work because it's my job, I can't stand it. I can't stand that players are dictating where they end up and hoping to force their way out of town by making a lot of noise. I also hate that you're going to have a collection of talent, some of the best talent on a handful of teams. I think that sucks too. But, you know, I made no secret about my feelings. The current NBA, it's not my favorite. It's changed so much from when I cut my teeth on the NBA when I was a kid. That's what caused me to fall in love with sports radio. But it's not the same anymore. Now, I get it. I don't want to be the get off your lawn girl. I'm not to that point. I'm not cranky about it. But it's annoying to try to force your way out of town when you still have 3 years left on your deal. And to say, this is the only place I'll go. I mean, sometimes you just don't get to choose. Furthermore, can James Harden not see what all the rest of us see? I'll explain why it's a really bad idea for him to land in Brooklyn next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for not only hanging out, but also finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, taking our poll. You always vote for Monday MVP, so that's cool. And then on Facebook, too, and I do want to get to some of your responses. I still haven't even gotten to the introduction of the brand new president in Miami. So that's that's something that I desperately want to talk about. And she was introduced yesterday, which I think is, I should say GM, not president. So she was introduced yesterday, Kim Ng. And this is such a cool story and such a cool moment for Major League Baseball that I want to make sure that we talk about it too. It's an historic moment for sports. And so I want you to hear from her because she was introduced yesterday or did her first press conference yesterday. And we still have a lot of football fallout from week number 10. We've only really scratched the surface. We've talked some college football and basketball. The first set of college football playoff rankings come out next week. So there's just a lot happening in sports, even though there was only one game on Monday night. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Here's why James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets is a comical idea. And I mean comical to the point where I laughed out loud when I saw it. Some of you mistook my tweet, but here, I'm going to retweet it so you can see it. Just a couple of things that I think are important to note. Number one, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant haven't even played a game together yet. So Brooklyn has spent all this money for two guys that haven't even been on the court together in a game. And Durant missed all of last season, right? With the torn Achilles going back to the NBA Finals from the previous year. Kyrie Irving was also hurt, and they weren't in a huge rush to get him back, even though they did go to the bubble and participate in the postseason. But it wasn't a major priority. So they paid a ton of money for those two guys to sit on the bench. James Harden has a massive price tag. So even if you could work the money out, think about the amount of money you're sinking into those three players. Then think about the fact that you'd have James Harden and Kyrie Irving in the same backcourt. Are you kidding me? Does Harden not see what the rest of us see? He needs the ball in his hands. He needs shots. It's one reason why it didn't work with Russell Westbrook, because they both are alpha males, ball dominant. They both need shots, a volume of shots. Harden is a rhythm shooter, and if he's not pulling up and taking threes and trying to draw fouls, well, then he's going to the hoop. I don't know what the exact percentages are, but he needs the ball in his hands. You know who else needs the ball in his hands? Kyrie Irving. You know one of the reasons why Kyrie wanted out of Cleveland? Because he didn't like sharing the ball with LeBron James as much as he had to. Why? Because LeBron is the same way. Whether LeBron's facilitating because he always truly wanted to be a point guard, or whether he's scoring himself, the ball runs through LeBron. And Kyrie wanted the ball to run through him. So does James Harden. Oh, and wait, there's more. Kevin Durant needs to possess the ball a lot of the time. Why? Well, because Kevin Durant's your best scoring option. Go back to Durant joining the Golden State Warriors. Do you know who had to take fewer shots? Klay Thompson. It was a concerted effort, a choice on the part of Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steph Curry to take fewer shots and to take a backseat sometimes in the offense so that Kevin Durant could be the focal point. And it worked. They won two titles. He was a two-time NBA Finals MVP. But it takes a locker room that's willing to sacrifice those touches and a locker room that's willing to sacrifice stats for that to happen. Steph Curry was an actual MVP of the season and took a step back for Kevin Durant. That's how badly they wanted him. But all three of those guys, Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant, need the ball. They need the ball. Irving and Harden in the same backcourt will not work unless one of those guys is willing to touch the ball a lot less, unless one of those guys is willing to take a back seat most of the time. Their style of play is extremely similar. Those two guys can't coexist in a backcourt unless one of them changes fundamentally how he plays. And then that doesn't solve the issue of Kevin Durant. Now, it's a little bit easier when only two guys need to touch the ball. But Durant also, a volume scorer. When he heats up, you feed him. All three of those big dogs can't eat in Brooklyn. It's not possible. It'll be a mess. While these three guys may say they want to play together, meaning they're motivated to work out the chemistry issues, you could point back to the Miami Heat when it was LeBron and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Bosh had to take a major backseat. So did D. Wade at times. But essentially, they were the top two options. Bosh was not. Bosh was an all-star in his own right in Toronto. He was the focal point there, but he had to take a back seat. Which one of those guys is going to take a back seat? No, seriously, which one? I don't get it, but the idea is comical. And I don't know that Brooklyn can afford it. Is one of those guys going to take a pay cut? The salary cap of the NBA is staying the same in 2020-21. That's not funny. But the fact that they're losing a ton of revenue, 40%, $1.5 billion this season, this past season, with the bubble and no fans in the playoffs. And now moving forward, there's a chance that they won't have fans initially. The same issue for the NBA. Eventually, it's going to come back and bite these teams on their bottom line. See what I did there? So I don't even know how it's financially feasible, but also basketball-wise, gross. I mean, what happens to the other guys that are on the court? Are they just relegated to cardboard cutouts? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Austin, who's in Dallas. Austin, what do you think?
I think it's going to blow up in their face, this big three. And reason being, Harden couldn't make it work with Dwight. He couldn't make it work with Chris Paul, which Chris Paul was his best chance. They were one game away from getting to the finals, and he ran them out of town. And he couldn't make it work with Russell Westbrook. Yeah, so now you come to a team with another head case like Kyrie. He couldn't make it work with Boston, and he couldn't make it work with Cleveland, even though they won a championship, but that's because of LeBron.
So Kyrie did hit the most important shot in that series, but...
I agree, but LeBron, he just knows how to, make it work with every franchise he's on, so... But, I just don't see it. And then KD and Kyrie, I don't trust their... longevity over the season. They've proven that they can't stay healthy, so I don't see it happening. And I think the guy that would have to take a step back is maybe Harden. And I think the best way is maybe bringing him off the bench as a six man, but I don't think he's going to do that. But
No way. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And the reason why I said that is because, Kyrie and Harden demand, they have to have the ball in their hands. They're both rhythm shooters, like you were saying. And, I just don't see it working, to be honest. And I can't wait to see all the drama that unpacks the season.
Well, let's take a pause here because Houston doesn't have to do it. Why would Houston do that unless they get back everything they want and then some? Multiple first-round picks. They're clearly right now trading away players to get draft picks in return. So they're far less concerned about the 2021 season as they are about the next draft that's coming up. And the idea of having the ability to draft young players or potentially have bargaining chips. So Houston's in full rebuild mode. And while they do want to build around Harden, they've offered him a lot of money to stay. It doesn't sound like he's interested, which means they can wait until they have everything that they've asked for and then some. Why would they? They still want him in town. So why would they trade him for anything less than everything that they want?
Yeah, I agree. And maybe instead of trading Russell to the Knicks, maybe you could trade Harden and get more, out of – because the Knicks don't want to give up their picks for Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they would – I think if you offered Harden, I think they would offer a multiple first-round pick. So I think that would be his best bet, or the Rockets' best bet if they're going to trade Harden away.
Can you imagine poor Steve Nash, who already is he was – I wouldn't say he was hand-picked, so to speak, but he had to be approved by Kyrie and KD, and then to have James Harden in the mix too. Oh, my gosh. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, doesn't look good.
No. All right, Austin, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for the phone call.
You too. Thank you.
855-212-4227. I don't know if the Nets want it. I mean, in theory, it's great to add an MVP, but sometimes in a team sport, well, you always need role players, but sometimes in a team sport, having too many alpha males actually creates the opposite effect. Yes, James Harden is a great individual player, but not everybody can have the ball in his hands all the time. Basketball doesn't work that way. Football doesn't work that way. Hockey doesn't work that way because it doesn't have a ball. No, I'm just kidding. No sport works that way. It's too much. It's too much. Or as Mark says on Facebook, a ball hog wants to play with other ball hogs. Sure. Although he spells hogs with two G's. I don't really get that part. Thanks so much for tuning in. I can't believe we have 1 hour to go. We'll continue with your phone calls plus Monday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.